the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. It is March 29th. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Catholic Community Media. I'm Alicia Quibido with Johnny Abear and Dina Dow, straight from the Diocese of Baton Rouge.
Good
We're so
morning.
Happy you're here.
So
and
happy
Johnny,
here.
Straight from Bush, Louisiana. We're glad to have you here, too.
Oh, it's good to be here. Yeah, Dina, it's good to have you aboard.
Thanks so much. It's great to wake up the day and see the sunrise come up with you guys.
You bet.
It's great to have you. Well, Johnny, you want to start us off on the right foot?
You bet. You bet. Let us pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, may the humble exercises of holy devotion this Lent shape the hearts of we, your faithful, so that we may welcome the paschal mystery of your passion, death, and resurrection. Free us of all that binds us, so that we may truly be free and made worthy to proclaim the praises of your salvation to the world. We pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Johnny. Well, we have a great show for you. As you know, Johnny Abear is joining us, so that means we get a Johnny Gospel reflection, which I always love on Wednesdays. Peter Finney, the editor-in-chief with the Clarion Herald, the Archdiocese of New Orleans Catholic newspaper, will join us to tell us what's in the latest edition. We'll get to visit with David Anderson. He's the host of a new show on Catholic Community Media called Cross Training that plays on Saturday mornings. Looking forward to chatting with David. We'll also get an update from Sister Marjorie Abear. She's the president and CEO of Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. So, well, they're always, Sister Marjorie is one busy lady. So we'll hear from her. So today is an exciting day for the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. Today at 2 o'clock, Bishop Mario Dorsonville will be installed as the fifth bishop of the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. That will be at the Cathedral of St. Francis de Sales in Houma. So he'll be installed by Archbishop Gregory Amond of New Orleans in the presence of Archbishop Christophe Pierre, the Apostolic Nuncio to the United States. That will be broadcast live beginning at 1:30 on the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux YouTube channel, as well as their Facebook page. There will also be a live feed, will be simulcast by HTV in Houma, along with the Catholic TV network. There is a public reception from 4 to 6 after Mass at the Civic Center in Houma. What a wonderful day for all the people of the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. So it's also a wonderful day that the rain we thought was going to be happening today is not happening. It's a cool, cloudy morning, and it will be a little mild by the afternoon. Highs will warm up into the 60s and 70s tonight, cool and clear, and tomorrow mostly sunny and mild. So it's looking up. This week was looking pretty soggy, but it's looking up. So temperatures in the area, Baton Rouge, 56 degrees, New Orleans, 60, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, 56, and our friends in Biloxi, 54 degrees. And Johnny, do you know the temperature in Bush?
It happened. 52 over here.
Ooh. 52. Okay, that's the cold spot.
That's great.
We were talking about Bush being the hot spot.
Yeah.
But it must be the cold spot today, Johnny.
We're so high. Yeah, we're elevation wise, 150 feet. You know.
That's right.
I'll squeeze in my turtleneck one more time.
There you go.
That's the last time.
One more sweater. Yeah, I thought summer was here, but clearly mistaken about that. So, well, stick around. We're so happy you're joining us on Wake Up this morning. We'll be back with today's gospel and Johnny's reflection. It's 5 minutes after the hour on Wake Up.
Mm-hmm. Good Wednesday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is a continuation of John chapter 8. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the son frees you, then you will be truly free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence. Then do what you have heard from the Father." They answered and said to him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." So they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Well, guys, you know that during Lent, we have been praying to the Lord that we might see ourselves as he sees us, as scary as that seems, but hoping that we see how much he loves us, and that with that love, it makes us desire to change, to please him, right? Mm-hmm. But still, one of the areas, I think everyone relate to this, that we really struggle with is this idea of truth and freedom. Mm-hmm. Especially as a culture, but really individually too. We cling to our vices because they're comfortable, and we think we can heal ourselves. I can help think but last, you know, Sunday's gospel with Lazarus being raised. Can you imagine if Lazarus, Rodney Rhodes, told Jesus, "Nah, leave the bandages. I got really quite used to them," you know? Or maybe it would be just as foolish as Lazarus saying, "I don't need help untying these bandages. I can do it myself. Thank you." And that's just a metaphor for that, you know? Or worse, and even an epidemic today is calling vice a virtue. We see this everywhere now. And Lewis Everly, who was an author, said this. He said, quote, "The worst evil lies not in committing evil, but in committing evil while pretending it is good." It's better to sin with sincerity than to lie to oneself in order to appear virtuous, unquote. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? See that everywhere. So there's this story about a seminarian who once embarrassingly told his spiritual advisor how afraid he was that the evil urges that he felt would never stop pursuing him. And the older priest, who knew the young man quite well, said, "Don't worry, you haven't gotten high enough for it to pursue you. For the time being, you are still pursuing it," unquote.
Wow.
Ooh, hard truth.
Yikes.
You know, and so what we want to do, we want to get high enough maybe where Satan's shouting the lies at us rather than whispering in our ear. So kind of gets to this time. We're really at this juncture now of Lent. Holy Week's just right next week around the corner. And it's time to realize that the moral and intellectual games that we've been playing, to let the Lord show us the truth, to be freed by him so we can love more deeply. And it's really as simple as making these choices, you know, for priorities. I was reading this story in the Orient, how they used to catch monkeys there. And what they would do, they would take a round fruit and put it inside of a box, but they would put a hole just large enough for the monkey to get his hand into the box. So the monkey would reach in, grab the fruit, and when he would try to pull it out, of course, he couldn't get it out. But the monkey would never let go of the fruit, and that's how they would catch these monkeys. So time for Lent is just to drop it, right? Just to be free of it. It's called forbidden fruit for a reason. So, you know, the problem isn't that we can't overcome sin or let the Lord overcome. It's that we can't decide sometimes what we want more. And we tell ourselves all kinds of excuses to hold on to false images of ourselves. Someone once put it this way, there's only two truths, the one you wish to hear and the one you will eventually hear. So this is the time in Lent to finally acknowledge that we need the Lord to give us this burning passion to put him first. And as someone once put it this way, very simply, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. I love that. Except, of course, the main thing is not a thing. It's a person, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who is truth itself. So, you know, I was thinking about, okay, how are we about to enter Passion Week next week? And as we enter into that, maybe we can move from just reading about the events and even moving beyond imagining that we're there in the scene watching, but to actually place ourselves into the heart of our Lord as he makes this final journey in Jerusalem, being aware of those vices that we have. And to let him see us, you know, as he sees us, let him free us with the depth of his love that he continues to show us constantly. So here's a simple prayer that I said this: Lord, untie me and free me from the wounds that I cannot heal myself, even those I fail to admit. Lord, show me those habits and beliefs that are dressed up as good, but are objectively deadly to my soul. And third, Lord, help me to let go of things and offenses, just as you forgave those who crucified you, and free me to live again. And I'll end with this one. It goes in this order: truth first, then freedom, then love. For here's the maxim, you know, truth leads to freedom in order that we may love, but freedom without the truth always makes us slaves. Mm-hmm. And that's the struggle we have. Freedom without truth will make us slaves, but the truth that leads to freedom opens us up to love. That's true in our country and our culture, but it's especially true within us. So thoughts, guys, on the gospel today? Dina?
Yeah, there's just such a that deep connection. That's one of the lines that stood out for me in the same reflection, is the truth will set you free, you know, and the idea of seeking the truth, you know, but Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. And so for us to come and dive deeper into the truth, it's coming to know Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? Like, okay, yeah, Dina, Jesus sets us free in the truth. But you dive into his sacred scriptures.
Yeah,
you know, you have encounters with him in the Blessed Sacrament and in prayer and adoration. And it is real. Those, you know, moments where we have the choice to choose truth or choose the lie that we've been chosen, like to, you know, tell ourselves the lies. So it just really brings us into this closeness of communion with our Lord Jesus, to choose the truth, to live in the truth. And then that sets us free and enables us to be able to love others, to help us all seek the truth in Christ Jesus. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, it's quarter past the hour. Peter Finney's going to join us next with news you will find in the upcoming Clarion Herald. Thanks for tuning in to The Truth.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 29th. Today we celebrate Saint Ludovico of Caesarea. Christ's love has wounded my heart. Those words from today's saint help explain why he spent so much of his life serving God's people in an amazing number of ways. Born near Naples, he was a cabinet maker before entering the Franciscans in 1832 and taking the name Ludovico. Ordained 5 years later, he taught younger members of his province until a life-altering mystical experience set him on a new path. After that, neither his charity nor his energy could be contained. Ludovico dedicated his life to the poor and the infirm in a new and deeper way. He established a dispensary for the poor, two schools for African children, and an institute for the children of nobility. He founded an institution for orphans, the deaf and the speechless, and other institutes for the blind and elderly. He began charitable institutes in Naples, Florence, and Assisi. To help continue these works of mercy, he established religious communities of men and of women who formerly belonged to the secular Franciscan order. Ludovico died in 1885 after a 9-year illness. He was beatified by Pope John Paul II in 1993. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
So So welcome back to Wake Up. I'm Dina Dowell, guest hosting today with Alicia Quivido. Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. And Johnny Hebert is in the metropolis of Bush, Louisiana. I'm really excited to introduce our next guest, Peter Finney. He is the editor-in-chief of the Clarion Herald, the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, giving us his update on what's coming up in this issue. Peter, welcome to Wake Up this morning. It's so wonderful to be able to interview you today.
Oh, thank you so much, Dina. And I know it's a very wonderful day home with Thibodeau, installation of a new bishop, and I'll be going up there later this morning. And it's a great, wonderful day.
I know they've been waiting for so long for someone to be assigned to them, too. So it's just been such a great blessing. We've been sharing our ideas with them because we recently, 5 years ago, had the same instance here in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. So there's so much going on in the Archdiocese, especially in this upcoming issue of the Clarion Herald. And more particularly, the first thing we really want to talk about is the mourning of the loss of Auxiliary Bishop Ferdinand Cherie, Bishop Cherie, who died on March 21st after a long illness. So tell us a little bit about Bishop Cherie and his amazing contributions and his life as priest and bishop in the Archdiocese.
When you think of Bishop Cherie, you think of a man with a song in his heart. He was always, part of his ministry as a priest and then later as a bishop, whenever he felt the urge to sing a gospel tune or some other, during the homily, he would sometimes break into song. He would, in public appearances, he loved to sing, and he tells the funny story when he was growing up, one of seven kids in Epiphany Parish in New Orleans. One of the choir director kind of spotted him and made him do a solo. He said he was so nervous, and his brothers and sisters all kind of poke fun at him being so nervous. But he loved to sing. God put a song in his heart, and really that's kind of when I think of him, I think of his joy, and. The head of the Black Catholic Ministries office in New Orleans, Dr. Ansel Augustine, said that he just had a rare knack for, caring for people. And he said, when you were with him, he had a million things going on in his mind, but he was with you, and he always was there to shepherd and to be, to share his heart with you. And so I think that's basically what he was. He was a one-on-one person, but he was not afraid to talk about the racial aspect of all of the things that challenge us, not only as an American society, but also within the church. And he talked about the gifts that everybody brings to the table. And he wanted people to understand and see how much blessing there is in diversity. And I think that's what really was the standard of his ministry. Just a wonderful guy. Age 71, he had some real health challenges late in his life. He was born with one kidney, and then he had so he was on dialysis for several months and had some heart problems. And just he had been the administrator at St. Peter Claver Parish in New Orleans, but really his health problems had made him step away from active ministry. But he will certainly be missed for his joy and his presence in the Archdiocese.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I mean, his legacy definitely is that gift of music and just breaking out into song, and definitively to the richness of how he preached racial diversity in the church.
That's
so
right.
That funeral mass is this Saturday, April 1st at St. Louis Cathedral, and all of our prayers are with Archdiocese, as well as all those that he served throughout his lifetime. I can only imagine him being able to just see the fruits of his ministry, as he enters into eternity. What a gift.
And just to let people know, there is visitation for him at Notre Dame Seminary, Vespers at 5 o'clock, and then from 5:30 to 8:30 on Friday afternoon, people can go and have visitation. And then the funeral mass is the next day at St. Louis Cathedral.
Very good.
On Saturday.
Very good, yes. And kind of moving on, Archbishop Amon has announced the appointment of 12 new pastors. This is always kind of an exciting time of year in diocese. I know we always kind of guess where people are going to go, but on July 1st, these pastors are going to be moving and taking their new positions. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. The Archbishop made the decision several years ago. He announced them a little bit earlier to give not only the priests time to kind of prepare and ready to move on, but also to get the congregations to say goodbye. And there are 12 new pastors in the archdiocese, and that'll take effect July 1st. And two priests, Father Victor Cohia and Father Michael Schneller, are retiring. So we have a complete list of, certainly even the parochial vicars and then the newly ordained priests who will be ordained in June, where they're going to be going. So that's, we put that up on the website yesterday, and it's one of the biggest things that people want to know, because, the pastor and the parochial vicar are such an important part of the Catholic faith, and people are really, really interested in where the guys are going.
Yeah, so that's on the website too. I actually took a look at that yesterday to see if I knew anybody that was making the change. Yeah, because sometimes it's like, oh, we're getting this and that. That's always exciting time too, especially for the pastors and for the new parochial vicar, especially for the newly ordained and the faithful. And this is one of my favorite parts of Easter, is the April 1st issue is going to list the 300 men, women, and children who are entering the Catholic Church this Easter vigil. That is so exciting.
It's wonderful. And what we do is each year, we do kind of like a scroll, and it's on page 4 of this issue, and it's online as well. You can look at it online. But it's got the names of each man, woman, and child who is entering the church. And they will, they'll be at their respective church parishes at the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday, where in some cases they'll receive all three sacraments, baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, and in some cases, some of the people have already been baptized, and they will receive confirmation and Eucharist. So, it's a wonderful, beautiful. If anybody has never been to the Easter Vigil, it's a little bit longer than your normal Mass, but it's a wonderful, wonderful experience in worship and in liturgy, and it's a lot of Christ being the light of the world. These people have a light of faith, and it's just exciting to see them come into the church.
That is very exciting. I think sometimes, too, some families come in at the same time, to see happening, that experience. And also for the faithful in that community to come together and experience Easter Vigil and the sacraments and the joy of the resurrection through those sacraments, and seeing there's just so much, just the smiles on their faces is just incredible.
Absolutely.
I think it reinvigorates our own faith,
of course,
too.
Yes, definitely.
And in the last few minutes we have, I really love this tradition in New Orleans, has kept alive this tradition, walking to 9 churches on Good Friday as a way of remembering Christ's passion and death. And so tell us a little bit about that and how people can kind of follow that map on Good Friday.
Yes. New Orleans is not exactly Rome, where there's a church on every corner, but there's almost a church on every corner. So you don't have to be in really great shape, although, wear your tennis shoes. It's a great decade-long tradition. People walk on Good Friday to 9 different churches to say prayers, and along the way they're also praying and maybe reflecting on the passion and death of Jesus. And so we thought, why don't we put together a map of kind of the main churches that are kind of most together, and it's along the river, and going from uptown to into the CBD, and kind of ending with St. Louis Cathedral in Jackson Square. And so there's a list of 16 churches, and you can choose. Nobody knows why 9. We don't know why 9. The number 9 was chosen, but you have a great choice to make a thing, and you can use the. Carry the map with you on your route, and it'll give you an idea where the different churches are. It's a beautiful experience because it's so reverent, and they have groups that go from schools and parishes, young kids, mothers, strolling their babies, and what great thing is that you get to go to churches that maybe you haven't been to in maybe forever, or in a long, long time, and some beautiful churches along the way where you can really pray for this ultimate gift of Jesus, his death and resurrection. So it's a beautiful tradition on Good Friday.
And what do people expect when they go on this walk? What's happening as the journey is taking place? Is there prayer? Is it quiet?
Some people talk quietly, but many people are praying the rosary. Mm-hmm. Some people just are praying quietly. There's not a lot of noise or anything. It's very quiet.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say somber, it's just very quiet, reflective, mm-hmm. a reflective procession. And it's just beautiful to see the groups of people walking down the sidewalk, because you can spot them right away, just, 5, 6 in a row, or that kind of thing, and they're walking on to the next church. Yeah. And usually when they go in the church, they will spend, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, kneeling or sitting in the pew and singing the church and then just saying some prayers. Yeah. And it's a beautiful tradition.
That is beautiful. In the last minute that we have, Peter, what's one of your favorite stories that's coming up in Clarion Herald?
Well, you know, I spoke to Deacon Eddie Beckendorf, who is a permanent deacon at Mary Queen of Peace Parish in Mandeville. He's come out with a new book. He had a very difficult childhood, there was domestic abuse in the home. But it just goes to show you, it's an incredible story of how he God's love, you know, transformed his life. And when there's so many challenges of people, but you never know, you know, what they go through. But he's written a book about his life and how God worked in his life to overcome that, and how he is helping people, perhaps in similar circumstances, but to talk about, you know, the challenges that can overcome with God's help.
Amen to that. Peter Finney, Editor-in-Chief of the Clarion Herald and the Archdiocese of New Orleans, thank you so much for being with us today. May God bless you and the rest of your day today. It's 30 after the hour. We'll be back in just a minute.
Good morning. It is 35 minutes after the hour. We are tuning our hearts to the truth on Catholic Community Media. I'm Alicia Quivido with Dina Dow from the Diocese of Baton Rouge and Johnny Hebert, excuse me, Vice President of Catholic Community Radio. We're so happy you are with us this morning. Speaking of Catholic Community Media, did you know there's a new show?
Oh,
there's a new show.
I've heard it.
Yes, it's on Saturday mornings at 9 on Catholic Community Media. And David Anderson is the host of the newest show, and it is called Cross Training. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to have you with us this morning.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, great. Well, okay. So your new show, Cross Training, before we dive into the show itself, I know that you came to us and approached us with this idea for a show. And I'd love to know what encouraged you to do this. How'd the idea come about?
I really can't give you a good answer on that.
Okay.
I was sitting at my desk one day, and I listened to Catholic radio for years, and had this idea of a show, and called David Dawson, and one thing led to another, and now we're on the radio Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Okay, so cross training. Let's talk about that. We you say cross training. I think I need tennis shoes for that. So tell me.
Well, that's better than dressing, but it is just about, you know, it's a sign of the cross training, and it's about what we need to do to be better. And I take it from the Stations of the Cross when Monsignor Nolte once told a story about Christ, that the Stations of the Cross said Christ falls down 3 times. And it really should be that Christ got up 3 times.
Uh-huh.
And that's what cross training is about, getting back up for when we fall.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so David, every week you interview a business leader in our listening area to talk about their walk on their journey in the Catholic faith. So how do you pick your guests and tell us about, well, let's get to that. Just tell me, how do you pick your guests and start this conversation with them?
Sure. Most of the people I've called, I've known. People, men in my prayer group, Sister Mary Lou, Spasha, I was on her board a long time back. And folks that I basically know. I have had just recently, I guess the show's aired 7 times, so I've had a couple of people call and say, hey, I'd like to do that.
That's
so
awesome.
It's about... when you fall, the first part of the show is talking about the downtime that someone had in their life, mm-hmm. how their faith expanded, and then we talk about a little food. And then we talk about once they get their wheels back under them, how their faith further expanded and they shared it with others.
That's awesome. You know, David, that's one thing that I love to hear about the lives of the saints, that so, you know, so many of them are ordinary people who fall, who struggle. I love hearing the story of Mother Teresa, how she had that darkness for such a great time in her prayer, that just that quiet. It gives us hope to, you know, to our future and where we can go from there. So tell us about some of the testimonies that you've had. I know a few of them that you've had on already, but tell us maybe one of your favorite interviews or maybe one of your the most surprising to you.
Well, that's a great question. Thank you. And it's not just business leaders. It's just individuals that have a really good story. Like Jim Lamy, who is an officer at a police officer at Loyola, former federal probation officer, and he had a great story where he had to have a kidney transplant, and his sister matched, and where he is now. And that's a pretty dark period when they tell you you don't have long to live unless you get a kidney.
Yes.
So his was an extraordinary story. John Besh was another great one. Mm-hmm. Everyone is familiar. You know, John went through some difficult times, mm-hmm. and how he and his wife rebounded together and where their life is today. John Blanchard was a great one, who owns Rock and Bowl. He and his wife came on and talked about how Mardi Gras Mambo was created in the back by Art Neville, tapping bowling pins together at his bowling alley. I mean, those are fantastic stories. Sister Mary Lou Specia, with her life of how she became a nun and what led her down that road, and how she and I met when she was at Cafe Reconcile. And it's just a fantastic story. UB Mule, when they had to make a payment for $55,000 and didn't know where it was going to come from, and a guy that owed him that money 12 years before, the check came in the mail.
Wow.
Yeah,
like
praying.
Wow. That's amazing. So your show airs every Saturday morning. Give us all the details about where we can catch it.
On the Mighty 690 in New Orleans, and all of the affiliates of Catholic Community Media. It's 9 o'clock every Saturday morning. And I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Guy Croissant, the very first interview that we did. His was a great story as well, with his brother bouncing back, taking care of his wife, his brother's wife, like they say to do in the Bible, and his children. And, that was a great interview as well. And what we try to do is focus on folks that are already sponsors of the show. Mm-hmm. And give them a little bit more publicity for their business, number one, but also to share their story. So when people go and see, they're not just sponsoring the Catholic Community Media because they like the show. It's because they have a calling.
That's right.
They want to be on Catholic Community Media.
That's right. It's not just about advertising your business. It's about believing in the mission. That's so important. So, David, if there are listeners out there who have a story that they would like to share and possibly be a guest on Cross Training on Catholic Community Media, how would they get in touch with you?
I guess through the main station.
Okay.
And
give us a call.
Jeff will like that. Directed people to
it. I'm sure he's fine with that. Yep. So you can go to our website, that's ccmedia.live, and find our phone number. And you can even email us through the website or through our Facebook page, Catholic Community Media on Facebook. And we can make sure we get all those details to David so you can be on the show. So do you have some that are coming out that you can give us a little spoiler about, a little teaser of who's coming next on Cross Training?
Officer Jim Lamy will be on this week.
Okay.
And then we have Peter Finney from the newspaper, the Clarion Herald.
Yeah.
He's a great interview.
Awesome.
And we've got some folks lining up. And we do it at the Loyola New Orleans University Media Center in their studio,
yes.
which have been accommodating the Catholic Community Radio for a couple of years now.
Yes, that's awesome.
And they're they Albert Dupont Jr., we interviewed him as well.
He's awesome.
And
awesome.
I'm hoping that very soon we'll have those up and have a library so that others can go listen to them at any time of the day.
That's right, right, to have it in the podcast. Because right now, if you miss it on Saturday, that's the only time you can hear it. So hopefully we get to that point where you can go and listen to those interviews, listen to John Besh and the ones that you've had on before. Well, David, what a great show. We're so happy to have you part of the Catholic Community Media family. Be sure to tune in on Saturday mornings at 9 on all of our stations, the Mighty 690 in New Orleans, 1380 in the Baton Rouge area, and then all of our FM. But remember, we have a free app. You can download that free on your Apple App Store or on Google Play, I think that's how it is. That's for free. Look up Catholic Community Media, get our app for free, and then you can hear David's show on Saturday mornings at 9, no matter where you are. David Anderson, host of the newest Catholic Community Media local show, Cross Training. Such a pleasure visiting with you this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Keep up the great work. I love listening to you every day.
Thank you so much, David. Excellent. Well, good. Tune in Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. Hey, stick around because Sister Marjorie Hebert joins us. It is 15 minutes before the hour on Wake Up.
We're so glad you have tuned your heart into the truth. Good to have you tell everyone you know to tune into Catholic Radio. There's so much great content here. Glad to bring it to you during Lent. Lent is a time when, remember, we call it Lent because we really don't own anything. It's just Lent. But anyway, so a lot going on. We're really pleased to join this morning with Sister Marjorie Hebert, who is the president and CEO of Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Good morning, Sister.
Good morning, Johnny. How you doing?
Always good to talk to another Hebert.
Absolutely. You've got
no
the
Heberts.
Best of it when you got two or more of us.
That's right. Double trouble going on right here, right? Well, as Sister, I know you guys have a lot going on.
Okay.
Yes, right, right, right. Well, Sister, let's start off with an event that I'm not that familiar with, but as I was reading about it, I said, wow, this is really incredible. The Archbishop Hannah Community Appeal Reception. Can you tell us more about the event, and especially about, you know, this past Monday when it happened, the significance of that and what happened?
The appeal is one that Archbishop Hannon himself started 52 years ago, and it is the one heart fundraiser that we do have in Catholic Charities. So it's a great event for us, and we look forward to the opportunity to say thank you to our many donors who assist us in the campaign, but assist us year-round in their donations and contributions. The Archbishop is a wonderful host, and he opens his home to us, and that in itself is an attraction for the many donors to come and gather and receive our thanks and acknowledge each other. We had approximately, I think, 88 people signed up and said they were coming. And we had many who came that hadn't signed up. So it was always a great event. We were able to say thank you for those who helped us raise $1.7 million in the campaign this year, which offsets many of our program's expenses. Vaughn and Doug Downing were our chair couple, and we welcome next year's chair couple, Ann and Jack Darda. So we no sooner say thank you and lay to rest this year's campaign, we're ready to move on to next year.
Right. It's so important to say those thank yous, isn't it, Sister? It's the spice of volunteer work.
Absolutely.
Well, I know, speaking of the volunteers, I know Catholic Charities is always looking, you know, to kind of grow their team. So, Sister, what open positions are available at Catholic Charities right now in the Archdiocese of New Orleans?
We have several positions open. You know, we have 23 programs and services that we offer throughout the Archdiocese. So it takes an army. And we have several key positions, in particular at this time, one in our finance office for our Head Start program, along with we need some food technicians to serve lunch to the children, drivers in our vans and that for our PACE program and for our Padua Homes program. Our Padua Community Services, we have multiple positions. COVID really did a number on us in diminishing some of our numbers. And so for our Padua programs, which deals and services the intellectually and developmentally disabled adults ages 18 and up, we have driving positions for them, but we also have services in their home in Plaquemine Parish. So if you're called to serve individuals with disabilities, I highly encourage you to check out the many openings that we do have in our Padua Community Services. We have a full list of all positions in our programs at our listing, ccano.org/employment. You can get a full spectrum of many talents being needed to serve in our programs.
Yeah, that's ccano.org/employment. What a wonderful opportunity. So if you're listening and you have those types of skills to be a part of this wonderful apostolate, this wonderful ministry. Well, Sister, I know also you guys are, in addition to open positions, you're also always looking for volunteers, right? So what kind of volunteer opportunities are there?
April is, a week in April, April 16th through the 22nd, is actually National Volunteer Week. Throughout the whole month, we're seeking volunteers. It's a great way to give back and to get to know more about the programs that we offer in Catholic Charities. So we have a number of programs for students. Our SERVE program offers students who are needing service hours the opportunity to join us in direct services in many of our programs. We also have year-round programs, packing food boxes, helping us deliver services. So I encourage generous people of all ages to look at our volunteer list on our website. And it's an opportunity to help children of all ages as well as seniors, particularly seniors in our PACE program, where we have two daycare centers. So as I said, it's the opportunity for children of all ages. And just this morning, I found this quote from St. John Chrysostom. He said, "No act of virtue can be great if it is not followed by advantage for others." So no matter how much time we spend fasting, no matter how much we might sleep on hard floors or eat ashes and sigh continually, if you do not do good for others, you do nothing great. St. John Chrysostom.
Wow. Well, Sister, where can people go to learn more about all these opportunities, jobs, volunteers, about Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese?
Our website, Johnny, that's the best source, which is https://www.ccano.org/. A lot of letters and slashes.
Wonder, yeah. Well, Sister, thank you so much. And we have a blessed Holy Week next week.
And God bless you. Thanks, Johnny.
You bet. You bet.
That's
wow. Yeah. Show went by really quick, didn't it guys?
It went by very quickly, Johnny. It was great having you and Dina with us.
Yeah, it's great having you, Dina.
Yeah, it's
well, let us go out in prayer, and we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. O Lord, your 40 days in the desert helped prepare you for the trials that you were to face. Thank you for being with us during these Lenten days to strengthen us in our own trials and in bearing our own crosses for the sake of your name. Give us eyes to see what still prevents us from being truly free. Give us ears to hear your voice calling us to greater love, and give us the voice to speak the truth. For this we were created, to show forth your glory with our lives. For you are the way, the truth, and the life. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. I always love a Johnny Wednesday. Great having you, Johnny Abear and Dina Dow, especially today. It's wonderful having you with us. We hope you'll join us on Wake Up Tomorrow. Denise Beyer joins us. We'll also share some events in our listening area. Kristen Kelly, producer of The Journey, a music special from Andrea Bocelli. Dave Delson Jr. will be here. And David Neglieri will talk about Solidarity with Ukraine. It's a new film. So be sure to tune in tomorrow morning. Have a blessed day.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.